Well, hello, this is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. We are here at Evangel Community Church in Houghton. I'm Pastor John. Sitting across from me is Pastor Travis. And we've got kind of an interesting topic to talk about today. I'm sure as you're listening to this, maybe you're in a car right now as you're listening to this, running on very precious, expensive fuel. All over the country, and I think in other countries too, we've been feeling the hurt when it's time to fill up our gas tanks, and we're starting to see a lot of other kind of negative, not even kind of, we're seeing negative signs financially around us right now. So there's a lot of reason right now to maybe be alarmed or be worried about these things. And so we wanted to talk a little bit about that. And what it's going to come down to as we get into this is God's control in the midst of these things. So before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about us two sitting here in front of microphones. How are we feeling the effects of this? Travis, what's the sense of this been like for you and your family in this season?
Well, for me, I mean, I drive a big old rusty Ford pickup. God bless America and the UP, because that seems like the standard fare for what we drive up here. So putting gas in that thing, I have two emotions, you know, sadness and I'm angry a little bit. And you got to take a small loan out to put gas in your vehicle.
Yeah.
So probably the biggest change that I've been looking at making is just riding my bike more into work. Pedal bike, not as cool as the motorcycle guys that I hang out with here.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's gas has been a big one.
Yeah.
And then summertime, I usually love to fire up. I've got a smoker, and I love to fire that thing up and do ribs and briskets and things like that. And that's put a little damper on that fun, too. So,
yeah. Grocery prices.
Starting to
stuff.
Feel the pinch a little bit, with the cost of everything going up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of the same things for me. You know, I was committed at the beginning of this summer here to get my motorcycle endorsement so I could ride my bike, the motorized style. So try to save some money that way, you know, and like second guessing travel plans.
Yeah.
We moved up to the UP last year, and so we've got family all around the country, and it's kind of put a damper on some of those plans. You know, I'm not the best. I joke that I'm not a real adult when it comes to finances, because you talk about investing, you talk about all the interest rates and all this kind of stuff.
Bitcoin guy?
No, thankfully. I think I heard that Bitcoin is crashing.
Hard, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I've been thinking though about like, are there things that I need to refinance before, you know, stuff starts to get nuts or crazier than it is, all those kinds of things. So yeah, feeling the pinch is the way that both of us would describe that. You know, and as I said at the beginning of this, our tendency when we start to see things like this around us, experience the pinch, is to worry. This is, I think, one of the natural responses we have.
Yeah, natural human tendency.
And I think not accidentally, because of this tendency we have as people to worry, we see a lot of talk in Scripture about how followers of Jesus, how God's people should be responding in the face of things that would normally cause us to have a lot of worry and anxiety. And all of this made me think of a popular Sunday school song from when I was a kid, and I looked into it a little bit. It's even older than that, but it's the song, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." Travis, take it away. Sing it for us.
He's got the whole world in his hands. Clap with me now.
I didn't think you were really going to do it. Great job. Yeah, if you don't know it, that's how it goes. He's got the whole world in his hands. It just kind of repeats that. And then it goes through the different aspects of what, like, specific things that he has in his hands, right? He's got the little bitty babies in his hands. He's got me and you, brother, in his hands. He's got everybody in his hands. It goes through everything, right? You can fill it in. I remember in Sunday school when I was a kid, we used to do it, and you got to, if you were good that day, you got to go up and pick, like you could throw in silly stuff, you know. It was kind of fun. But the whole point of the song speaks to what we're talking about here. And just before we dig into some things that we could probably learn in this season, or would be good to be reminded of in this season, you know, I was surprised to hear that this song goes back all the way to the 20s. and probably circulated even before that based on what we know about the song. It's an African-American traditional hymn or gospel song that would be sung. And the first time it was recorded, actually, was in 1958 by Lori London. Never heard of this person before in my life. Just so you know, he was a singer in England at the time. And this song made it all the way to the Billboard Hot 100, number one on the Hot 100 in 1958, which, just as a side note, can you imagine a song like that making it to number one right now? Man, oh man, it's crazy, crazy. So anyway, recorded by a bunch of other people after that, and then you fast forward to the 90s when I was a kid in church. We were singing it in Sunday school, you know?
Carried on.
That's right, that's right. So as we think about this simple song, right, he's got the whole world in his hands. What are some things from this simple song that we can learn or be reminded of with the realities of the world that we see around us right now?
I think a lot of stuff that's going on causes us a great deal of concern. I mean, flip on the news and there's all the economic downturn stuff, the talk of recession, all those things and stuff that hasn't happened since the 80s.
Well, and it's not just financial. I'm glad you brought that up. There's the financial stuff, but, you know, there was the earthquake in Afghanistan just recently. You know, violence that we're hearing about in the news, whether it's school shootings or other things. Like, I mean, there's lots of stuff right now going on around us that might make us go, God, where are you in this? And I'm scared.
Yeah. And you look at just the meaning of this song, and it's talking about God's wonder, his power, how he cares for creation, and everything in the world that he created is in his hands. And being in his hands, he wants to take care of it. And so for the believer, we're called to have faith and hope and trust in God and his goodness, that he's got things under control, no matter how bad they look from our perspective. Yeah. I mean, I think of Jesus going to the cross and that last moment with him and his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying and sweating bullets of blood because he's just so burdened for the task at hand. Yeah. And he's still faithful to what God's got for him. If it's not your will to take this cup from me, Lord, I got you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk with you in this thing. So I think we look at that, and it doesn't matter if it's a bad economy that threatens us or job security or savings accounts. You know, our human tendency is to worry and be concerned about those things. But we have a God who loves us and is in control. So I think we can rest in the peace that brings us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of my favorite verses along these lines is in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. It says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Just this reminder that God is all-powerful, that God is in control of all things, and I think this is echoed in this song. So one of the big things, first and foremost, that jumps out to me in the ideas in this song, or really it's one idea, is the power of God. The power of God, which goes all the way back to me, to the fact that God is the one who created all things. You know, going back to the very beginning of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything. So he's in control of everything. We also see other verses in Scripture. I don't know if I can't remember the address. Maybe you'll remember, where it talks about God being the one who holds all things together. I think maybe it's in Ephesians or Philippians.
Yeah, you're in the right area there.
Yeah, right. So it's in the Bible, guys. Yeah. Okay. What do you want from me? But it's brought up throughout Scripture that God is the one holding all things together. You know, I've just recently read through all the major prophets in the Old Testament, and what you see in those books, what you see in other places in the Old Testament is, even when foreign kings who didn't recognize the one true God were in charge, God was still in control. Mm-hmm. There's lots of talk about God allowing them to have power in the times that they have power, and then removing it from them when it was his time to take it from them. So there's something about this song, the simplicity of it, but this just awe that God is so powerful and that he is above all things.
And we read scripture, and a lot of the power side of God is talked about in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
You know, we see like his power over nations and over the battles mm-hmm. within the armies that the Israelites had to face. I think of, you know, the story that's pretty famous is David and Goliath and the power that he gave little shepherd boy David to whiz a little yeah. stone at this guy's head and knock him out and send the army running. One of those verses is out of the Psalms 89:13-15. Your arm is endowed with power. Your hand is strong. Your right hand exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. And when we recognize and trust that God is powerful, and we put our faith that what he's doing is for our good, mm-hmm. he's in mm-hmm. control, even the powers and the positions of leadership here, he puts those people in place.
Yeah.
So we might have those questions of, man, what are these knuckleheads doing? How how crazy is this? God knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And his plan is for our good. We also know that in scripture that it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
But Jesus already has the victory secured. And so that's, we know the end of the story. And we don't necessarily want to be in the middle of that story
right.
when we find ourselves in those places of, you know, struggle and stress and worry and concern. But we're supposed to cast all of our cares and our anxieties on him and trust him and hope in him. And we win. In the end, yeah. the victory is his.
Yeah. I love what it says in that verse about righteousness and justice being mm-hmm. the foundation of his throne. You know, because we've talked about this many times on this podcast. It's one thing to recognize the existence of God. It's another thing to see that he is good and that he has good things and good plans in store for us. Because sometimes this idea that there's an all-powerful God above us, it depends a lot on, is that God good or is that God bad? The way that we should see that, right? So this God that we are God, the one true God, is a good God. We see that throughout scripture and it's confirmed in passages like this. His righteousness and his justice is the foundation of his throne. So the fact that he is the kind of God that he is, the characteristics of God, informs why we should trust him and feel good about the fact that he's in control. I guess that's where I'm going with all that. You know, another part of this song that is maybe not as obvious, but it kind of makes me think about creation, you know, the fact that he's got all things in his hands. I've had this thought many times. I like being outside. I like going for hikes. I like seeing the beauty of God's creation. There's a lot of it up here in the UP for me to still explore.
That's why they call it God's country.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, last summer I went up to, what is it, Lake of the Clouds? Is yeah. that, did I get the
yeah.
name right?
Yeah, yeah, from the Porkies.
Yeah, and I just standing up there, seeing the vastness and the beauty, like, I remember before I moved up here, I was looking at, like, what are things to see? And that was one of the things I saw a picture, and I was like, that's up there? Oh my gosh, because I had never been up to the UP. Anyway, standing there looking at that, it just reminds me of the way that creation is dependent on God, like nature. And the idea that all of those creatures living out there, they're not worried about the tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We see this in scripture too, this command to trust God and trust that he loves us even more because we are made in his image. He calls us his people. And so oftentimes when I'm outside, it helps me remember that God is in control of all things, even with the weather, just knowing that I can't control that. You know, we like to joke a lot about how weather people, you know, they don't.
You can get it wrong all the time.
You can get it wrong all the time and you're still good
because
they're just doing
yeah.
their best to guess. So all of this stuff just reminds me that God is in control of all things and he's sustaining all things.
Mm-hmm. There's the passage about the sparrows of the field
yeah,
and
right.
the flowers and God clothes them
the
and
lilies,
feeds them.
Yeah.
And we don't have to worry about that because they don't worry about that. And
yeah.
as kind of the crown jewel of creation, human beings are created
right.
in God's image. Like, we are the handiwork of God. Scripture calls us the handiwork of God. And so if you are God's best creation, he's gonna take care of you. He wants to take
right.
care of you, and he wants to have our hope and our trust in him. one of the things that I love being outside is that, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been out to the mountains before.
Yeah, like in Colorado.
Yeah, yeah, like the real mountains. Yeah. Yeah. Like you just stand there and you realize how small you actually are as a human being.
Yeah.
And just it puts you in awe of like, man, God is way bigger than this 14,000 foot mountain peak that we're looking at. And we're so small, mm-hmm. and he has to care for you.
Yeah. I can't remember the quote. I wish I would have thought of it ahead of time so I could look it up. But I think maybe it's Lance Armstrong. One of those early astronauts in the NASA program talked about what it was like to...
Neil.
Was it Neil? Neil. Oh, I'm sorry.
Lance is the biker.
He's different, guys. He's different. Neil. Thank you. One of those guys early on in the NASA program talked about what it was like to be in space in the shuttle and look down at the Earth and just realize like... how small it is, even in relation to the rest of the galaxy. Mm-hmm. I think there's something that God communicates to us through experiences like that. You know, you were talking about Colorado. I can remember I did a 14er, Mount Sherman, I believe it was.
All right.
And stood at the top of that thing. Now, my disclaimer is we started at the tree line, so I didn't do the whole thing, but still.
Still counts.
I got up there. It was one of the hardest things I've done, so don't take that away. Anyway, I got up there, and I can just remember that same feeling of like awe at how huge this mountain is. And at that height, you can see so much and just see how big everything is. And, you know, I was there with a bunch of students. And some of the students had gone ahead of us, got to the top, and then come back down. So by the time I got to the top, they were several thousand feet down, but they could see us. And one of the students took a picture from a few thousand feet down from where I was at the peak. And you can't even see me.
Yeah.
Just
can't even see little John.
Nope. Nope. just tiny, this tiny little speck up there at the top. I think that's me, you know. But it speaks to the same kind of thing that this song's talking about.
Well, what I like about that is that when you think of the hugeness of God in comparison to the hugeness of the mountains that he created, it starts to put your worries and your concerns and our problems in a little bit of a different perspective too.
Yeah.
Like the stuff that we face seems like that mountain in our life, whether it's an economy thing or if it's a personal thing or whatever. But then you know... like there's this ginormous God out there and he created all this stuff. And it, at least for me, those moments start to help me be like, okay, this is a little bit of a smaller problem than in light of eternity.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's, there's been all kinds of studies done over time about how valuable it is for people to get out into nature and to spend time away from cities and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we talk so much about having getaways, you know, up to the mountains or into the woods or whatever it is. There's something built in to us about being out in that creation. I mean, one of the things that I think about that often is how nice it is to go somewhere where you can't see signs of what human beings do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like that's one of the things moving from, I moved from outside of Chicago and it wasn't impossible, but it was a lot harder to get somewhere where you couldn't see a building or a road or a pole for power or whatever, you know? And so one of the things that I love about living in the UP is that it's not that hard for me to get somewhere where I can't see right in front of me signs of human and what we build mm-hmm. versus what God created and how it was meant to be. So there's something really powerful about that, being out in God's creation and being reminded of how huge he is and the fact that he sustains all of that without our help.
Well, and that's interesting too, because you just think of creation, nature, and how the weather patterns affect things.
Right.
And we talked about this before, about rain and crops and things like that. Like God provides for all of that stuff. He provides for all of the wildlife, and he provides for, you know, the climate to go, like we have spring and summer and a long, long winter up here. Mm-hmm. And for our ecosystem, that is a benefit to a lot of, you know, like the fish and all that stuff. You get the salmon spawn in the spring and they run in the rivers.
Right.
It makes it awesome for fishing. But God's provision is not just for nature, it's for all of creation. And so he provides those things for us. He provides for, like we talked about, the birds and the sparrows and the flowers and all that. So even when we are looking like our human nature, the provision is not there, whether the stock market's way down or Bitcoin right. crashes or whatnot. God is still a God of provision. And that makes me think of when Elijah was stranded out in the desert and he was super hungry, and what came for him. Mm-hmm. In 1 Kings, I believe it was 1 Kings, God sends ravens, these dirty birds, to come down and bring him food and yeah. sustain him through that. And so we see throughout throughout Scripture, God's promise to care for us, to yeah. be with us. And sometimes that's different than our desire, our expectation, but he's still good.
Yeah. And this kind of brings us back to how we started out this conversation. You know, we were talking about the things that are going on right now that are causing us to change some of our behavior. I think that can be a good thing. You know, mm-hmm. I think there's something about being wise and seeing what's going on around us and going, okay, hey, we're gonna take less trips into town. We're gonna, you know, maybe change up some of our summer plans. Like, that's okay. That's not I wouldn't say that's letting fear win.
Yeah.
Some of that is just being wise and prudent. If I don't have the money to do that, don't do that. Right?
Well, which Scripture tells us to yeah. do to be wise.
Right. But on the flip side of that, you know, we've kind of been going, you know, touching on this a little bit throughout this conversation, but we also need to remember that we shouldn't be debilitated by anxiety or fear in the midst of that,
mm-hmm.
right? We might make some wise choices that are different than we would normally make, but I don't think that always means we're letting fear win in some of these conversations. You know, that's a thing that came up throughout the pandemic, mm-hmm. and there, you know, not to get into all of that, but there's a lot of things in that where I do think our culture leaned too far into fear and not trusting that God had things under control. You know, there's a lot there that we could talk about. But the bigger thing that I want to highlight as we close out this discussion is just being constantly reminded that there's nothing that is too hard for the Lord. That's a direct quote from Genesis 18 when God promises Abraham and his wife Sarah that they're going to have a baby, this baby that God promised them and they waited for so long for, and Sarah laughs. And God basically responds and says, why is she laughing? Is anything too hard for me?
Yeah,
I can do whatever I want.
This.
I got the whole world in my hands, man. Watch. You know, and so I think that is the message for us in seasons like this, is be wise, take those steps that you need to take, but also don't forget that there's nothing that is too hard for the Lord. And so maybe what you're facing today is beyond just our economy or beyond the fear of a lot of the scary things we see around us. Maybe it's something different than that. But whatever you're going through right now, my encouragement for you is to be reminded that there's nothing that's too big for the Lord. Bring it to him. Bring it to him in prayer. And I trust, because I've seen this in my life, I've seen this in other people's lives, as they've brought those fears and concerns to the Lord, that they're not too big for him. Just trust that he is able to handle the things that you're facing right now.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us. If you enjoyed what we chatted about, feel free to catch up with us on any of our other podcasts, or if you just want to find out more about Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use, you can catch all those at evangelup.org, or you can also search those out on your Apple or Google device as well. Evangel Houghton Podcast is what you'd be looking for. And if you've got any questions or comments or topics that you'd like for us to cover, or even if there's just something that you would like us to be praying for you about, we'd love to hear from you. You can shoot me an email, travis@evangelup.org. We hope you guys have a great day, and we'll catch up with you next week.